Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Well, that was a fairly short gospel reading. I really noticed it. It was pretty short. Does that mean that that's not very important? On the contrary, the church has given us a very short gospel reading so that we focus in on it because it is very important to us. Have you ever been asked to explain, perhaps, what you believe? How do you go about describing the Christian faith? If you were asked to summarize in one sentence the essence of a Christian faith, if you were going to summarize the essence of a Christian faith in one sentence, what would you say? It's certainly difficult to consider how to describe our faith in just a few hours sometimes, much less one sentence. On the other hand, what is the central core of the gospel? What is the basis of our faith? Our gospel reading today provides a very good answer. In fact, a portion of it, John 3:16, has been called the gospel in miniature. For these few words of this verse, we have the key message for Christianity. You know, it's perhaps one of the most familiar verses in the Gospels. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Sometimes the significance of something fades with its familiarity. And it's good to revisit familiar old friends like this particular scripture and see once again why it is so familiar and why it is so important. The fathers of the church have very wisely selected the words in today's gospel lesson to be read every year on the Sunday before the Feast of the Elevation of the Cross. Now, today is the Nativity of the Theotokos. And I'd just like to read from the Kentuckian of the Nativity of the Theotokos from earlier. By thy holy birth-giving, O pure one, Joachim and Anna were delivered from the reproach of barrenness, and Adam and Eve were delivered from the corruption of death. Thy people do celebrate it, having been saved from the stain of iniquity, crying unto thee, the barren doth give birth to the Theotokos, who nourishes our life. The barren give birth to the Theotokos. That is one of the things we are remembering today. And this is the beginning of a great sequence of events that's essential to our salvation. Later this week, we will celebrate the elevation of the cross, more at the conclusion, if you will, of these sequence of events. A day that commemorates the discovery of the cross on which Jesus was crucified. And for nearly four centuries, the cross had been lost, buried in a mound. And on the day it was discovered by St. Helen, the mother of the Emperor Constantine, and as it was being elevated up from the dirt by Patriarch Macarius for all to see, the crowd exclaimed, "Lord, have mercy." The cross is a sign of victory, of power, of our very salvation. And that lifting up of that cross on that day was another image to us. And selecting today's gospel reading to be read on Sunday, just prior to the Feast of the Elevation of the Cross, we have John 3:16 chosen. Let us consider three parts to this familiar verse. The first is simply a statement of a great fact. The fact of God's love for us is the starting point. For God so loved the world. That's a fact. That's a given. We're made aware immediately that God is love. Everything that God does is motivated by love. Just think about that for a moment. It was love that made God in the beginning fashion man in his own image and place him in a paradise of amazing beauty. It was love that made God bring prophets to Israel. It was love that prompted God to send his son into the world to be born of a virgin, to make real to man the love of the Father, to reflect his compassion, and to see his compassion on the sick and those burdened with sin. And it was love that led Christ to the cross. And pray even for those crucifying him, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And even while Christ was dying on the cross, he paused in his agony and in love said to the repentant sinner next to him, today you will be with me in paradise. And it did stop there. In love, Christ rose from the tomb and declared, I am the resurrection of the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet he shall live. I know in my own life, when I began to just get a glimpse of God's love for us, and specifically for me, it changed my life. It had a strong impact on my life when it just how much God loves us was driven home to me. So that's the beginning. This is the fact. For God so loved the world. Now the second part of John 3:16 is an action. And this great act of God's love is that he gave his only begotten son. He gave his only begotten son. This week, as we later celebrate the elevation of the cross, we're reminded what this giving involved. God the Father gave his only son to die on that cross for us. Christ took on human nature as he was born to the Theotokos. He was born in a manger. Then he grew up. He taught the disciples. He taught the others about the kingdom of God. But it didn't stop with just teaching. The act of God's love is fully shown as he goes to the cross. Why did he do this? In Hebrews 12, it instructs us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross. The joy set before him. That's the love of God that he had for us. And it's so far beyond what we can even imagine. But it's also so far beyond the sufferings that Christ had to suffer. His love went beyond that. So this action of God is by far the greatest thing God has done. God's love gave to the world what was most precious to him, his only begotten son. Now, moving on to the third part of John 3:16, we have a great promise. Whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God promises salvation and eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Savior. This is the heart, this is the core of our Christian faith. God's agreement with us is that if we believe in Christ, we will be given eternal life and be with him always. Now, in using the word belief here, it's more than just an acknowledgement that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We know elsewhere in scriptures, we read, even the demons knew that Jesus was the Son of God. So it's more than just knowledge. This belief is more than just something intellectual. It's a belief that draws you to God, not away from God. It's a belief that responds to that love of God in a way that causes us to desire to come to him, to come to the light, not go away from it. It's a belief where that tomb is no longer a dead alley for us, a dead end, literally. It's not. It is just a thoroughfare from this life into the fullness of the kingdom of God. Sin came in the world early on. It caused a separation between God and mankind. But because of this great promise that we read about here, no one needs to remain fallen in their sins. We have the power to rise in a newness of life. And because of the promise of God, we who believe in him, who place our hope and trust in him, will have life eternal. Now, the verse just prior to John 3:16 says, I mean, this is kind of an interesting verse. Like, what is this having to do with this? Okay. It says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. In the Old Testament, it is recorded that Moses made and lifted up a bronze serpent to cure the Israelites from the deadly bites of poisonous snakes. In Numbers 21:9, it says, if a serpent bit any man, and he looked to this bronze serpent that Moses had commanded to be done by God's command, anyone looked on that, they lived. Christ was lifted up on the cross for us. And later on, when that cross was rediscovered, it was lifted up again. As we behold the crucified Christ, as we behold the cross, the poisonous bite of the serpent, the devil, the bite of sin and death is counteracted. We are saved. Anyone bitten by sin who looks to Christ lifted up on that cross will not die but have life eternal. Whosoever believes in him in this way will not perish but have eternal life. So, coming back to what I said at the beginning, if you're asked to describe your faith, or you just feel the Lord leading you to describe your faith, one way to just start is this very familiar John 3:16 verse. And you start with the fact. What's the fact? God's love for mankind is the basis of it all. And then the action. God acted through his love by giving us his only Son. And then we can talk about the promise of God. Whoever believes in him and places their trust, their hope, they will not perish. They will have everlasting life. Which we need to keep that hope, that faith alive in our own hearts. And then, as we talk to someone, then we can bring them to the place where that belief is nourished. We're all nourished as we come here. We're nourished in the church. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In the name of the Father, Son, and Spirit.